Are dents and scratches putting a dent in your day? Introducing Roger Steen Crash Repairs Adelaide, your trusted solution for automotive woes. With over two decades of expertise, Roger Steen Crash Repairs guarantees top-notch service, restoring your vehicle to its former glory in no time. From minor dings to major collisions, our skilled technicians handle it all with precision and care, using state-of-the-art equipment and techniques.
Roger Steen Crash Repairs saved my car. It looks brand new.
Fast, friendly and reliable. I wouldn't trust anyone else with my vehicle. Don't let accidents slow you down. Visit Roger Steen Crash Repairs Adelaide at 14 Penner Avenue, Glynde, for quality service you can count on. And here's a special offer just for our listeners. Mention this podcast and receive a $100 discount on your repair. Roger Steen Crash Repairs Adelaide. Excellence in every repair.
Previously on the Game On Podcast.
Now, AA, how did all that come about, Roy?
How did that come about? Yeah. In 1997, I got interviewed by Barry Ian and Pilko, Baz and Pilko.
What, to play the part of Peter Plus? Yeah, keep going. I couldn't help myself, Roy. Keep going.
Well, Plus he is actually in this story.
Okay.
So I got interviewed by him. It was a Crows issue. And remember, I'd been sacked by the Crows.
Yeah.
And I was playing for Norwood. They probably rung 20 people for a comment. No one would comment.
Yep.
So they ring Buffhead me, and I did.
Yep.
From that, Baz quite liked, I guess, the cut of my jib.
Yep.
So about 2 weeks later, this was coming into the 97 finals, I got a phone call from the producer of the 5AA Brekkie team. Can I do a ad for Target, Carralta Park Target, wow, on Anzac Highway?
Yep.
And it's a paid gig. I got $50 or something.
Yep.
I was working at New Style. It was 7:30 in the morning. I thought, oh, yeah, I can do that for $50. And I had no idea what it was. I got given a script. It was all ad-lib.
Yep.
I'm talking on air, and then this bloody Peter Plus voice comes on and pays me out, like launches me.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, who the hell are you like that? And we've had this massive fight on air, Plusy and I.
Right.
Like a full bore fight.
So you didn't know about Player Plus?
No.
Okay, right.
I didn't know anything. Anyway, didn't hear anything. We win the grand final. I get drunk for 3 weeks.
Yep.
Go back to work. And it would have been about early November. The producer of the 5AA station rings me and says, look, we're breaking up Baz and Pilko. Baz is going to put his Barry and Brekkie show together, and he's asked for two people. He wants Roey Yu to be an on-road reporter and a bloke by the name of John Blake to be a comedian. Well, the rest is history.
Yeah. Yeah, wow. That is
a good story,
isn't
it?
Yeah, that's huge. I did not know that at all about the Peter Plus. And, yeah, of course, over here in South Australia, was legendary, the Peter Plus bit.
Yep.
So, yeah, it's surprising you didn't. And so then, when did then develop? So you're on the Brekkie show and all that. Keep going with. So when does the sports side of it come into play?
Well, I did the Barry and Brekkie show, I reckon, for 4 years as an on-road reporter. We did the show in New York. We did it in LA.
Yeah, I do vaguely remember that.
I love Baz. He is a radio genius.
Bloody oath.
A radio icon. He's a Hall of Famer, and they will never build another Barry Ian. He is an icon. Him and Fatty Francis, Jeremy Cordeau, they don't make him like that.
Yep.
Truth be known, the quality of radio now as a craft, shit.
Mm.
Yeah. Crap. And I tell you why it is crap. Because the do-gooders, the cancel council, whatever you call them, the political correctness has stifled, killed, muffled, and destroyed the Australian humour.
Yeah, and I think that's everywhere, Rowley. Mm. It's not just, it's obviously not radio, just radio, but it's absolutely everywhere, Rowley.
Well, try being on radio, mate, and getting bored like I do and get complaints.
Yeah, yeah.
I talk about ease of business. So if you train real hard, have a great pre-season, you do everything right, you work on your weaknesses, when you play, it's a bit easier. There's an ease of business. You can attribute that to any walk of life. When I started radio with Barry Ann, there was an ease of business. The ease of business was I could just be me.
Yep.
Half the people hated it, the other half loved it.
Yep, yep.
And that's the perfect little sync for a radio person. And I could just be me.
Yeah.
Now, there's that many things you've got to check, watch, be careful of. Don't say that. I mean, I get dumped probably three times a show now.
Sportscast SA presents Game On. Game On. South Australia's destination for everything sports. Local, national and international sports. AFL football, soccer, basketball, golf, baseball, tennis, cricket, and any other sports played in this wide world. And we're going to have a blast doing it. So sit back, relax, and let's do this thing. Welcome to Game On.
Welcome to Game On. My name's Pete once again. Malcolm, you're back from Victoria. Congratulations on a safe trip.
Yes.
obviously, Rowie there talking about the media landscape and how things have changed. He's a polarising figure. You love him or you hate him, but, you know, he does sometimes speak some sense that, you know, sometimes we do go a little bit overboard in what we can and can't say.
Oh, very much so. And you can never – there's one thing about Rowie, he's always honest. Jeez, don't ever complain about Stephen on that side.
Absolutely. No, we thank Rowie for his time, and obviously we had to split that interview over the last couple of weeks.
Yep.
So let's get into Around the Grounds.
Yep.
Around the Grounds.
Now, today, mate, we don't have any guests lined up in our Past Players, Past Legends segment, but we have done an AFL-only podcast, which has obviously come out a little bit earlier in the week than usual. But we're going to talk some tennis, the SNFLW, and soccer, as per usual. We are going to do a little bit on the AFL just to kick us off. The Thilthorpe injury for Adelaide didn't go as expected,
it's
unfortunately.
It's a massive, massive injury. Absolutely vital player, play that second ruck, and potentially could have been first ruck. Let's remember he is a better player than the current ruckman.
He was building very, very nicely, wasn't he?
So it's a huge injury, massive ramifications with Taylor Walker also getting injured.
I was about to say, we did mention that.
Yeah, I think it's huge.
Now, Port Adelaide, Ollie Lord set for a bit of a stint on the sidelines after a huge blow to Port Adelaide. But
injury
not
training.
Not as big, I don't think, as the Thilthorpe injury, but still very, very important.
Yeah, important still. I agree. He's not probably in the rung as important to Port as Thilthorpe is to Adelaide.
And that's just purely because of where they're at the moment, isn't it?
But it's still a big injury. Yeah,
absolutely. We did talk about it briefly on our AFL-only podcast a little bit earlier, the opening round success.
I think overall, and I get why they did it, as we said, for rugby being in America. Yep. For me, out of the four games, the most significant was Rao, because Rao was wow.
Yep. Had good call. I called him a bull. I think he was just a bull.
Incredible.
Absolutely. Something that Adelaide need to look out for this week. Obviously, we'll stick with that a little bit. In Adelaide are obviously playing Gold Coast. What do we expect up there, obviously, playing on Saturday night?
I think already they're effectively five goals down already, the fact that Gold Coast played last week. They've got the cobwebs out. They've also, you're always here. Doesn't matter how much preseason you go, come round one, it's different.
Yep.
You're blowing, you're panicking and all that. They've got rid of that. I just think I've gone on and on about it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's absolutely disgraceful. I can't believe the AFL, other AFL clubs didn't unite and go, no, those eight teams play last week, must play each other this week. I think it's just crazy. It's incompetent.
As we said, we've already given our tips, but obviously you've picked the Suns as I did as well. Interesting that that the Suns are going in the right direction. I did sort of say last week that they're all chips in and they're an interesting watch for me. So
yeah, we'll see let's how that also too. We didn't cover that. Butterick and Powell have been long term injuries. Get them back. Butterick, son of Craig Butterick, who played for Glenelg. Mm-hmm. Powell, who got has had two shock injuries. One of them was at Adelaide Oval. Mm-hmm. And I actually know one of the Crows guys that went sore as he was getting on the thing, and he said he nearly unloaded his breakfast, and it was horrific.
Yep.
So I'm rapt that he's back on the park and playing well. I just think, and Collins, remember, they got him from Freo. He was a discard.
Yep.
And he's up there. He's one of the premier defenders in the game.
Question without notice on Gold Coast. I know it's early, and we did talk about players moving clubs in our AFL podcast a little bit earlier. Do we see Dusty heading up there next year?
Personally, I still think he'll end up staying at Richmond.
I think so too. Yeah.
I think it's a bit of a overkill out of that. Yep. I think we move on.
We'll see
one.
How it goes. Keep going. All right, let's go to Port Adelaide. We did talk about Ollie Lord very, very briefly there, but obviously playing West Coast 3:30 here in Adelaide on Sunday. Where do we sort of see that one falling? We know that West Coast have got their troubles.
Port by 68 points.
Ooh, there you go. Even a number on it.
Yeah, why not?
Maybe we should play a little bit of closest to the pin, closest to the pin on that one. Well, let's do that. Adelaide and Gold Coast.
I'm going Gold Coast to win by 40 points.
Okay, I'm going Gold Coast to win by 12. Oh. And I'm going to go Port Adelaide to win by 48.
Okay.
All right, let's see who's closest to the pin. Yep. Bit of fun there anyway. Yep. A couple of weeks ago, the Webster incident on Jai Simpkin was sickening. We both had our comments. We thought it would be an 8-10. They get 7.
I'm still angry out of that.
So am I.
In terms of St Kilda went beforehand, right, full retrition, did the wrong thing. Mm-hmm. He's going to plead guilty, accept his whack. Well, accept your whack. The recommendation was 8 weeks.
Yes.
Accept that. Don't then sit there, oh, no, you've got it wrong to the AFL bit. Oh, no, that's only the same as Pau Pepper. Mm-hmm. Pau Pepper only got 4. Bullshit.
Well, I think Pau Pepper got stitched up when you look at those two in...
Yeah, out of that, two, if you're comparing one, for him to only get not even double.
Yes.
Yeah, out of that. And I still think Pau Pepper the 4 weeks was the correct call.
Yes.
Out of this, for mine, it just should have been, yep, we accept the 8, full retrition, not fighting it. I couldn't believe that, and I bitterly disappointed with the tribunal to only give him 7.
I think the AFL...
now, let's keep going on that one. What a surprise.
You're going to steal my thunder. You're a bugger on that one.
Yeah.
You've come back from Melbourne refreshed, and you're just stealing all my lines. That was going to be my point in that and I was quite adamant that it should be 8-10 in that they needed to set a precedent. Now, here's where you were going with it, and I jumped in and stopped you, in that guess who is playing each other in round 8?
And exactly. So they've now got a promotion for the St Kilda North. There was no promotion for that game. All of a sudden, we've got something to throw at it, St Kilda North Melbourne. My other beef out of that has always been that this out of this. What should happen, he's got 7 weeks. One of that 7 weeks should be the next time they play that side.
Yep.
So exactly the same thing on Pau Pepper. The next time they play...
Adelaide.
It was Adelaide. Yep. Yes, next time they play Adelaide, he shouldn't be playing.
Yep.
I've always said that.
Yep.
So that therefore, it's quite ridiculous. St Kilda and lost Webster...
Simpkin.
North Melbourne lost Simpkin.
Yes.
Adelaide lost Keane. Well, where's your retribution for that? Mm-hmm. There should be something in that, and I've always said that.
Is it a case of if the AFL independent doctors come on board to make concussion decisions and it is a judge to be a deliberate – well, not a deliberate act, but an act that will – come under scrutiny from the tribunal, is it a case of that a player can be removed from the game?
Oh, I've always said that as well. Yes, of course.
Red card.
Yes.
So that way they don't have the extra rotation, they don't have the extra player.
For the real blatant one, don't have the umpire doing it. Yes. Have someone up in the box. Webster, we all saw how bad that was.
Yes.
That's just a no-brainer.
Exactly.
Okay, then there's only been a few. Like there was Stewart on Prestia. 2 years ago? Was it 1 or 2 years ago? Either way.
Yes.
There's only been 2 or 3 in the last few years. I don't have Pau Pepper in that one
as clear cut.
As clear cut. Webster, blatant clear cut, yes, must be sent off.
Yep.
Farcical.
Yep.
Wes, and your other bit out of that is AFL players in general are pretty well disciplined. If that's happening at a lower level,
mm-hmm.
Webster is sent off.
Yep.
Well, that removes that. If you didn't have the send off then,
okay.
I'm sorry, players are then after him. So that removes that. And for mine, yes, the send off, and yes, he doesn't play the next time you play that club.
I'm glad we totally agree. Totally yep. agree on that one. Oh. I think it is a good yep. point you make.
Oh, I'm rope on it.
I actually do agree that if it's happening at local level, that guy's hunted for the rest of the game, especially if it happens early in the game.
He's still chased 5 years later, don't worry on that.
Yeah.
But at least you've got rid of the day potential. Where the 20 other players are gunning for him.
Yes.
You've got rid of that and the emotions have died down.
Yes.
To some extent.
Well, I mean, back in the day, extent. Even when I was playing, it was like, hey, mate, you better watch getting into your car in the car park.
Yeah, exactly.
I get it.
Oh.
Not only were you, you know, next time the header's over the ball, you're going in just that little bit harder, but the word around the ground was, hey, mate, you better watch your back getting into the car. And I feel bad for even saying that and thinking about that now, but that's how it was back in the day.
Big time.
Oh. And we'd be completely silly to think that doesn't happen these days either.
Oh, yeah.
Now, that probably brings me to a little bit of a point that I've been trying to bring up over the last couple of weeks in that there's so many different rules for different leagues throughout Australia. Think back, yep. you know, 15, 20 years ago, whatever that was played at AFL, SNFL, WAFL level, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, they've created another one with concussion.
Yes.
Yeah, I just think, hang on, we've got to have a bit of uniformity.
And that's probably what frustrates a lot of people at the moment, and this is why I wanted to bring it up, in that you've got, you know, obviously the SNFL, I think you've done the right thing by trialling and now sticking with the last touch out of bounds rule, which I think would work so much better at AFL level.
I don't like the rule, but at least you've removed an area now where it's a guesswork one, yep. whether he's paying it or not. And they tend to pay it late too.
Well, yeah. they almost wait a bit on the crowd's reaction to it going,
it's a bit of theatre.
The majority is saying, oh, that's deliberate and not deliberate. So I think that would take that out of it a little bit. So I think that's a good rule. But, yeah, the concussion rule, as you said, something different for each leagues or potentially going to be for different leagues. Different rules. You've talked about the send-off, obviously, in the lower rules. Maybe that should apply to the upper rules. Oh, so that way it is uniform right from the AFL because that really at the end of the day they are the governing body.
You just have it.
That is the rule.
For the absolute blatant shockers that, yes, you know, the Barry Hall on Staker, bang, off you go, et cetera.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly. Let's move on to cricket, mate. We've talked enough AFL today. Let's get into your area there. South Australia finishing off a disappointing season with a very, very good win against Tasmania. 136 runs, I believe. Yeah, 134.
Tasmania got what they deserved. They prepared a green top, which was bizarre, because if Tasmania had made 258 in the first innings, they were hosting the final. So it was quite bizarre what Tasmania did. But let's go through.
Well, South Australia first innings, out for 271, and we have to make mention that Nathan McSweeney with 117 there really set the innings up for South Australia.
His third 100 of the year. I do think he is the closest out of Shield players batsman to be playing Test cricket.
Mm-hmm.
But let's go through this last round of Shield cricket, the batting. You had, from the top, Queensland bowled out for 144.
Yep.
You had Victoria bowled out for 130 and 144.
Yep.
WA 168. Tasmania 123 and 189.
Yes.
South Australia 175.
Yes.
Guess what? There ain't any too many batsmen knocking the door down. There is some crap batting. It is a real worry. Like, and you're saying at the moment, drop Smith and all that. Guess what? There ain't anything underneath.
Yep.
I do, as I said, McSweeney's the closest, but the batting overall is a real, real worry. Look, as a South Australian for the year, it's frustration that yet again, it's a year that we've come second at bottom. We're not competing for mine.
But it's still promised so much early on, though.
Yeah, but for mine, we end the year, still the same questions at the start of the year, and that really frustrates me. Why they didn't go, Kelvin Smith, we're going to go with you for the whole year.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to back you in, play the year, let's see. Yep. I still think he's easily the best opening batsman in South Australia.
Yep.
Yes, his shield numbers don't back that up, but I would have gone with him for the year. What they've done since has been Russian roulette, throw a dice in the air, see where it lands. Fraser McGurk's two dismissals here against Queensland, I made the point. I would have said, go down, get your bag, piss off.
Mm-hmm.
Come back when you're remotely serious or don't come back. No, he plays again this next Shield game.
Yep.
It's like he's been given the Charlie the Chocolate Factory lucky ticket because he's a recruit.
Mm-hmm.
And, sorry, we also end the year still with no spin bowler. Menenti, if he plays, must bat top six or he's not picked.
Yep.
He's bowling.
A worry.
It's just not good enough. He's not a Shield bowler.
Yep.
And...
Well, the question
our bowling, then, our pace attack overall for the year have been fantastic overall, and we've got a lot of depth.
Yes.
There. So that's the encouraging thing. You know, we're bucking. McAndrew finishes the year with 48 wickets at an average of just under 18.
Mm-hmm.
Had a fantastic year.
Yep.
And it'll be out of him or McSweeney to win the Neil Danzy Player of the Year.
Mm-hmm. And Ryan Harris obviously having a bit of a part in that.
Yeah, yep. So that was the good bit. But our batting... Selection.
See, for me, Weatherald comes into play. I mean,
big
loss. He makes a big change to that lineup.
Yeah. I'd like to see, hey, Jake, you didn't play Shield cricket, come back.
Yep. Yeah. How did you see South Australia obviously changing the upper order there with McInerney and Brazel opening?
Look.
Or is it a case of still trying different things?
Still trying, and I get that, but I've just... And it's, I think McInerney deserved it more than Brazil. I will say that with his district numbers.
Yes.
But neither of the district numbers are anywhere near Kelvin Smith's. That's all I still would have gone with. That's personal opinion.
Well, speaking about local cricket and giving opportunities, is there a spin bowler that's knocking down the door at local level that might just need to be given an opportunity?
Well, Lloyd Pope is the best spin bowler, and there's probably Fallon's from West Torrens is the other one. But Lloyd Pope, overall, the problem is, because our batting's so thin, Menenti has really played as a batsman. And he's batted eight the majority of the year. He batted seven this last Shield game.
Mm-hmm.
But he's batted really eight the majority, which just is, it's papering over the other cracks.
Well, changes are happening at the SACA. We did mention that a couple of weeks ago. I'm assuming now that the season is pretty much all done and dusted that more changes will come about. Obviously,
we will try and cover the district semi start this week, and then it's the grand final the week after. We will have a district cricket, hopefully.
Yep.
Hopefully get Tom Kelly on in the next week.
Absolutely.
Or Sam Kerber from uni, whatever. We will have someone.
Absolutely. Looking forward to that, and obviously keeping local cricket in the news and obviously interested to see who's in form and who might take out the title this year. So obviously the upset loss to Tasmania will cost them a home final.
Yeah.
McSweeney obviously guiding South Australia's first innings and really the match towards South Australia winning. So,
oh, look, the pitch was doing plenty. It really was. Also, Connor McInerney comes into the side, took five catches, which is obviously a hell of a lot for a fielder. But I reckon every single one of them was at fourth slip, which is just unique. So, again, yes, you probably as regular knowers know that I'm a stats weirdo. Pretty incredible.
You
one,
and me both.
One.
Yep. Very good.
Yep.
Let's move on to some test cricket. Alex Carey was the man. We certainly... have said previously that, you know, he just needs to go on with it a little bit, and he did the job that Australia needed to do to get over the line against an unrealistic win against New Zealand, really, when you think about it.
We're two days past the Sir Alex Carey national holiday. It wasn't for the Adelaide Cup or anything. It was really for Alex Carey.
Yes.
Nah, look, Rat Fiquez walks in a bat with Travis yet again and played a dumb shot to make us, you know, 5 for 80, pretty poor LBW decision given against Alex. Thank goodness he did review.
Yes.
Out of that. That was a guide dog was umpiring at that stage.
Yep.
Which would have had a 616 and the game would have been over.
Yep.
Instead they get through. We've made the point. I think Marsh's LBW proves that DRS still isn't working anywhere near as well as it should, because that was going to miss leg stump. that has to be blowed out. That the ball decides it's going to change direction to hit leg stump for mine was bizarre.
I think we've seen that all over the world with DRS. It just hasn't worked. There's been some that have missed the stumps by millimetres and yet it's still been given out. It's like, hang on.
Yeah.
You know, margin for error and all that kind of jazz. Mate, I know you love your stats here, so I'm gonna throw one at you, but I reckon you might already know this one. But anyway, Australia's chased three totals of 250-plus in the fourth innings of a test in the last 15 years. Australia defeating South Africa at Johannesburg, England at Birmingham, and obviously New Zealand in Christchurch.
Cummins.
Guess who's the man who's been there on every occasion? Pat Cummins.
It's the winning run in each of those three. Interestingly, in the fourth innings, he's averaging 34. Pretty incredible stat that, how much that is up from his overall average. But 34 for a guy batting 8 or 9 is just an incredible number in the crunch.
Yep. How do we see Steve Smith? Again, it's a comment that we've asked the question over the last couple of weeks. How do we see him still playing at number 1, or does he go back to number 3?
I'd like to see him go back down.
That's my opinion. But Labuschagne picking up 90.
Does then he open?
Yeah.
I still don't think it's right. It's probably more the way that Smith's getting out LBW a lot, missing balls, which he used to hit with a toothpick.
Yes.
He seems late on it.
His movement across the stumps worries me. Yeah, I know he's always done it.
Yeah,
but that's what worries me.
He was always still, though. Greg Chappell's the most anal person I've ever met on cricket, on technique, and he lauded Steve Smith on having a correct technique because his head was still when the bowler let go of the ball, that he was in perfect motion then.
Yep.
The moment, he's still not, and he's getting hit on the pads, and he doesn't seem to know where his stumps are. He's calling for a review each time, where this last one...
It was clearly...
Oh, it was...
Blind dog could have seen that it was out. Yep, fair call. All right, let's move on. WPL, best figures by a player, Elise Perry, absolutely dominating. 4 overs, 18 dots, 6 for 15.
And makes 40 and gets a catch yet again. She's up there as one of the greatest sports people in Australian history. Let's also remember how good she was at soccer as well. Yeah. Let's not forget that.
Yep.
And... the darling of the cricket world continues to deliver.
Absolutely. Can't disagree with you, mate, but doing good things not only here and abroad, but, just generally for cricket in general. Don't the Indians love their WPL? It's just crowd everywhere.
No.
It's crazy, isn't it? Absolutely crazy. Before we leave the cricket, Aussie coach nominates Mitch Marsh to be T20 World Cup skipper. Good call or bad call?
Yeah, I've got no problem with that. Let's also remember WA have dominated. He's quite often been the captain of WA with the Scorchers. I've got no problem with that because Pat Cummins really isn't a certain selection in that side either. So, I think it is. And also, how much more Marsh plays of that variety? And it is different.
Yep.
So I like it personally.
No, fair call. I like it as well. Obviously, you've got to change the team up a little bit. And like you said, WA are doing very, very well and once again find themselves in another final. So can't argue with what they're doing in WA. And maybe South Australia should model it a little bit on what they're doing. Anyway.
Yeah, quick thing on WA cricket. Will Bizzasto was in the Redbacks squad, lost his Redbacks contract, moved back to WA, has made, it's either 500 or 600s, and was in line to break a WA cricket record, so might try and get the Boz on, and we'll chase the Boz up as well.
Excellent.
The boss of WA cricket at the moment.
I like it. All right, let's move on to SNFL. Some winners from a very, very hot weekend over here, mate, in South Australia, because I know you're in Victoria. It was probably a tad cooler, but not much. Yep. Games were being moved left, right, and centre and changed around, but obviously Sturt beating Glenelg, which was a little bit interesting, but obviously it's only a trial game, so we'll let that one as it is. Central beating West, sort of understood that would probably be the case. And Norwood beating North in a game that I thought was probably better to be played on a Friday night, but they played it at 9 a.m. and on a Saturday morning.
Yeah, a bit. I just think it's so hard to take anything out of it because it was just too bloody hot. And that was the word I got back from people as well. Obviously, I probably spoke to people. I've spoken to
Yep.
Spoken to people at about 11:15, yep. I reckon it might have been. Yep.
Just trying to find out what happened and what went on.
I got a couple of calls back as well to me.
Am I led to believe this is the first game you've missed in a while?
Yeah, it is for a while. First time was certainly, yeah. No, I did have one work a couple of years ago where I had to go, where I was away and missed a Nord home game. I thought the players should have worn black armbands that day, but yeah.
I like it. All right, let's move on to this week's matches. We've got Sturt v Adelaide, West v Glenelg, South v Norwood, Centrals v Woodville West Torrens and North v Port. Some interesting games there.
Yeah, I just always take trial games with a grain of salt. It's try things, it's who's available. Nordle's just trying to get Harry Boyd to the line for round one. He won't play.
Yep.
And Nord actually have a lot of serious injuries. A bit of a worry how many serious injuries Nord have got at the moment. They've probably got nearly 10 players won't play round one. So there's a lot there.
Hopefully it's not a case of what happened last year where
it is a bit of a worry.
We were struggling to get going there for 10 or 11 rounds. Just some interesting games there. I think North v Port Adelaide for me is one that might be worth a little bit of a wander and a look, and maybe South Adelaide and Norwood out at Flinders University Stadium. 2023 financial results show that the SNFL is in reasonable position, not a strong position, but a reasonable position moving forward.
Reasonable, but there's a couple of clubs, one in particular, a real worry, and we'll move on from that.
Absolutely.
I want to cover them. Don't want to not cover myself there.
Right, fair call. All right, let's take a very, very quick break. When we come back, tennis, the SNFLW, and the soccer.
You're listening to the Game On Podcast. We'll be right back after this short break.
Tennis, Alex de Minaur still in great form at Indian Wells, at the Indian Wells Masters, after losing a competitive round 16 match to Zverev.
Yeah, he's still around the mark each week, isn't he, in terms of having a crack, so, yeah.
He's putting himself deep in some pretty good tournaments. Obviously, the Indian Wells tournament is a 1,000-point tournament, so, there are points there, obviously, to be gained, but losing 5-7, 6-2, 6-3, so not a huge finish for Alex de Minaur, but he has been on an absolute tear in the last two or three weeks. The next opponent for Zverev is Alcaraz, so it would have been a tough match either way, but I still rate de Minaur at the moment in, he's certainly playing some very, very good tennis. Sticking with tennis, the Billie Jean Cup qualifier comes to Australia. Australia v Mexico, the 12th and 13th of April at Pat Rafter Arena in Brisbane.
Yeah, so won't say on that, but encouraging that it's up there. Hopefully we beat Mexico and move on. So, yeah.
We've done well in the Billie Jean Cup in the last couple of years. Yes. So I would think that we're relatively confident, but, we certainly need some of these women players to step up in the absence of someone like an Ash Barty and so on. And to finish us off on tennis, Hayden Jones, a name to keep an eye on for the future. He's verging on the top 10 in the junior rankings.
Yeah, hopefully it's a name to follow for a good long, good few years.
Usually most juniors that are in that top 10 bracket generally go on to be reasonably good senior stars. Again, injury plays a big, big part in a lot of that. But if he's already heading to the top 10 in juniors, he's definitely a name that we want to watch. All right, let's move on to the SNFLW. Once again, we did talk about the trial games for the men's being in warm conditions. Well, the girls didn't have it much easier either in their games on Saturday and Friday night. Obviously, wins to Glenelg, West, Centrals and Norwood.
Yeah, in terms of Sturt started well against Glenelg, and normally in the women's games, from there. But then they came in. Jessica Bates has come back from Collingwood, is proving to be
a good recruit.
Massive, just massive. Yep. 27 positions, Piper Window probably... While contributed round one, was a little bit quiet, did a bit more in round two.
Yep.
Ellie Kellock and Jasmine Stewart also did well. Indy Rashid gets the breakthrough player
of the week.
Around, don't worry, we'll see that name.
Yep.
She'll be the best player in the AFLW within 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think Glenelg there might be a bit more deeper than That bit deeper than it, deeper. So, yeah, yep. They're around the mark.
Is it a case of, say, someone like a Piper Window, obviously being on Port Adelaide's list, you know, the different regime a little bit? She's got to change certain things to being almost a full-time footballer these days. Is it a case of just trying to find that adjustment level?
Yeah, I think they leave her alone at the moment. She starts at Glenelg and then goes, gets taken out of the SANFLW. The SANFLW sides.
Yeah, but there would be programs that would be sort of done on their own or given to them a little bit.
A bit. I don't think quite as much as
as the AFL sides. Men. Yep. Yeah, fair call. Yeah. That's all right. Central show no signs of slowing in their premiership defence. You know, they were good, and Norwood obviously getting their first win of the season as well. And the Tigers, like you said, look very, very good at the moment.
Yeah. Look, Caitlin Rosenwig has been the best forward in the game for I can't work out how she's not on an AFL list.
Yep.
But she got held goalless for round one, which is very unusual. Rebounded in round two with three goals.
Mm-hmm.
And young Borges, so the daughter of Steve Borges, ex-Adelaide Uni player, got the award from round one as well.
Absolutely. All right, we move on to this week's matches. Central's v Glenelg. Tantalising game, this one.
Yeah, I think it is at the
Ponderosa.
Toss of the coin. I'm going to go for Glenelg.
I'm going to go for Glenelg in a tight one. It's not going to be high scoring, but it's going to be entertaining nevertheless. South v North.
Yeah, I'll go South Adelaide. Look, I think they were the best side last year. They were very unlucky in the grand final. A couple of more than interesting umpiring decisions at the end cost them that game. But they're Norton too. It's a big game for them. I'll back them to beat North.
Absolutely. And then we've got West v Sturt.
Yeah, I'll go for Sturt. Even though Westie's improved, had a win last week beating North Adelaide 18 points because. Let's also people go. Oh, women's footy knows the score. Well, the quarters are only 18 minutes, so it's a hell of a lot less game time. So that does keep it closer. So, yeah. But you know, West Adelaide, Asher Dufa and Kusterman were good last week. So probably they're on the improve.
And yet North Adelaide, who were benchmarks there for a little while, are just struggling a little bit.
Yeah, they're relying a bit on. Bit too much on Jess Edwards and Harvey for mine.
Yep, fair call. And then to finish us off was Woodville West Torrens versus Norwood.
Yeah, I'll go the legs here. I reckon a really encouraging result last week to beat South. And South were up by a couple of goals early.
And then at three-quarter time had to come from behind to win and then did it in impressive style.
Yeah, that came through and winning by, it was a big, as usual, quite a strong breeze down at Norlunga.
Yep.
And A good result there as well. Adrian Davies was a really good contributor for Nord, kicked a brilliant goal.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Nord Centrals was. I watched that game. I was at that game and then commentated the Glenelg North game. I thought the Nord Centrals game was a high standard, just as personal observation.
Yep.
So I think Nord might be a bit better than I thought they were going to be.
Oh, well, that's a good sign.
Yeah.
Just the ladder positions going after round two, Glenelg and Central's both sitting on top, West Adelaide, Norwood, Sturt, South Adelaide, Woodville, West Torrens and North Adelaide.
Yeah.
I think that's about right at the moment. As I said, Norwood were probably a bit unlucky to run into West Central Districts in round one and, like you said,
and only good went high down by under a goal.
Yeah, so. And that was
controversial finish.
Exactly right. But, it should be very interesting and really looking forward to round three matches next week, which we'll talk about. All right, let's move on to soccer. Another competitive loss to Melbourne Victory, but a stunning goal from Nesta Erekundu.
Yeah, the goal was the highlight. Yet again, competitive, but
Victory
just
were
losing.
peppering.
Yeah. Yet again. Look, disappointing year for Adelaide United. Goodwin, massive loss. They need to get in a couple of players of experience with quality next year. We wait and see. But, yeah, they're just that bit short of lacking depth and lacking
just watching some of the match and also some of the highlights, you know, of the Adelaide United game, they looked a little bit disorientated down back, and I think that's their shape's just not quite in the right spot at the moment. So I give a huge shout-out to their goalkeeper who had to work overtime. Again, not their number one goalkeeper at the moment, and I thought he did a very, very good job.
He did do well.
So Adelaide sort of unearthed some very, very good goalkeepers over the journey.
Yeah, we have. Yeah. Paul Izzo from the past and
Galekovic.
Yeah, so, you know, it has been a state for good goalkeepers.
Absolutely. Well, they've had to do it the hard way. Obviously, moving on to Newcastle Jets this week, what do we expect United? You know, Newcastle are only a spot above them on the ladder. It's a good opportunity to just get that morale up after, you know, with seven games to go.
We can only hope, mate. That's probably the best way to sum it up.
Fingers crossed. All right, mate, let's take a very, very quick break. When we come back, we've got our Happy Days segment.
Liking this podcast? Please like, rate, and subscribe. Happy Days.
All right, happy birthday this week to Rory Sloan. The Crows would love to have him out on the park this weekend, but I don't see him playing, obviously with that eye injury. But originally from Victoria, Sloan was the first part of the TAC Cup side, Eastern Rangers under-18s. When he was only 16, went on to captain the Eastern Rangers in 2008. And then he was drafted by Adelaide with pick 44 in 2008. Bit of a steal, really, when you think about it.
Yeah, he was in the end. He's just, he's the energizer battery. What you see on the ground is what he is off the ground as well.
Yep.
You know, I've done a few coaching clinics with him. I will say when his then girlfriend, now wife, may have come to pick him up one day, that that was a Gillette great moment in sport. We were certainly, the three coaches were far more interested in him than in her than Rory.
Yep.
And Slaney did say that was fair enough too.
Yep.
Yeah, but he's a great bloke. He's been a great leader. I think, as I said, where I love is what they give off is what they are.
Yes.
And that's where I really like Rory Sloan.
Absolutely. Sloan strained his medial ligament in his knee prior to the start of the 2009 season, but upon returning quickly forced his way into the North Adelaide seniors. Now, this is what a lot of people don't understand, is that back in the day, the AFL players went back to their SNFL clubs.
I still prefer that, personally.
And showed strong forward, prompting former guest Neil Craig to comment, "He'll be an exciting player for us in the future. Our supporters will really like Rory Sloan." Sloan made his debut in round 20 against Hawthorn and did not record a kick but had seven tackles. That's an impressive little stat there, but Neil Craig, wasn't he right?
Craig, you got that one right.
Absolutely.
Guru. Look, on that, that's what he's like. Seven tackles, it's bang. He's always at the contest, always gives you 100%.
That's why I think he'll be an important sub player for Adelaide this year if they don't need him, you know.
Especially if there's wet, actual wet games. Unfortunately, we don't get the muddy like we used to, though.
Yep. So, fair call. Yeah. Sloan is a dual Malcolm Blight medalist and was selected in the All Australian team in 2016. He's also won Showdown Medal in 2017. Sloan served as Adelaide's co captain in 2019 and sole captain from 2020 to 2022. They got an absolute steal with Rory Sloan, and he's proved his worth. And Neil Craig said it, exciting player, and will continue to be an exciting player.
Quality person. That's.
I hope Adelaide keep him around in some capacity after his career is gone, in some sort of development role, coaching leadership.
Yeah, I hope so.
Exactly. Yep. All right, we move on to cricket. In 1996, Australia beats the West Indies by 5 runs in an amazing Cricket World Cup semi-final.
Yeah, where West Indies were cruising. Absolutely cruising, and I'd like to have the score sheet in front of me. I reckon they lost 9 for 38 on memory, something like it's around that mark.
Yes,
and just somehow Australia won.
You got a very good memory, mate. Again, Australia West Indies, great rivalry over the journey, but not as much these days. But back in 1996. Was probably one for the ages, that's for sure. All right, we move on to boxing. 1985, Larry Holmes, TKO David Bay in 10 for heavyweight boxing title.
He was certainly the name on everyone's lips there for a while, Big Larry. Yeah, wouldn't want to run into him in an alley.
No,
yeah.
No, you and me both. Yeah. All right.
I'd want to be in a car, put it in a
yes, or something moving very, very fast. Baseball 2020, as we know, Major Baseball League suspends the remainder of spring training and delays the start of the regular season in response to the COVID-19 pandemic. Return dependent on recommendation for Center for Disease Control. What a time, really, when you just think back to it. It was only 3 years ago that we were actually everywhere. Going through this.
Yeah.
And major sports were basically saying, hang on, stop. Yeah. We have to stop. Oh, and
we just had to.
Exactly right. Yeah. Just amazing from the point of view that it was only 3 years ago, and it doesn't seem that long ago. And to finish us off, mate, 1971 in tennis, Australian Open men's tennis. Ken Rosewall of Australia beats American defending champion Arthur Ashe 6-1, 7-5, 6-3. First man to win an Open-era Grand Slam singles title without dropping a set.
It's incredible, really, because the other thing, Ken Rosewall, it was probably an earlier version of Leighton Hewitt to some extent. Just got the ball back, knew his angles, knew his game, because he didn't really have the power. Certainly didn't have the power serve to get the 3 points.
Yes.
But just kept going. Just kept returning. The ball just kept going back over that bloody net more times than the opposition.
Well, we could almost say, what does Rosewall, Leighton Hewitt, and Rory Sloan have in they have Energizer Bunny endorsements coming their way.
Spot on.
Exactly right. All right, mate, let's get into the extra time big finish.
Extra time. Big finish.
All right, mate, let's wrap up today's big episode with the F1s. Ricciardo's return isn't as certain as we thought after Red Bull director pulls no punches as to where he sits.
Yeah, it was a bit interesting that. It was
one minute he's in favour, next minute he's not.
Bang, it's a bit weird.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I can't quite work that one out at the moment.
It's going to be an interesting watch. All right, let's move on to the NBL. After entertaining final series, we're now down to a five-game championship series between who we picked last week, the Jack Jumpers and Melbourne United.
Yeah, and like the Tasmania-Perth game was quite unusual. The away side's winning. So Tasmania came back in that third game.
Yes.
And got up reasonably convincingly in the end. And surprise, surprise, WA, when they lose something, I won't bet the coach to survive.
Yeah, very, very short rope as far as that goes.
Yes.
Just interesting, and we've talked about it previously with the play-in tournament and then the seeding qualifiers and so on, and then the playoff series is a best of three, and now we're into the championship series of five. But both of those playoff series games both went three games, which is great for basketball.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously, from a watching point of view or a spectating point of view, you're getting value for money out of the basketball at the moment, that's for sure. Yeah,
go the Jack Jumpers.
Absolutely. All right, we stick with basketball, but with the NBA, Patty Mills, obviously Australian, being given a lifeline by the Miami Heat after being released by the Atlanta Hawks, and he's actually gone to a pretty good team because they're going to be competing.
Hopefully. So he might end up the winner out of this one.
It almost reminds you a little bit of Aaron Keating with Adelaide in the finals in that, you know, moves from a lower league to the upper league and wins the grand final, then goes back down and wins another grand final. Paddy might be in the same boat.
Might add more beers than touches on that week too, and quite convincingly, I may add too.
Fair call. All right, the NRL, let's move on to the NRL. You can't be serious moment. Yeah. NRL is Australia's most popular sport. What bathwater are you drinking there?
Yeah, pull the other one. It does play Jingle Bells, etc. Go fly of the moon. Yeah, load of garbage.
I just scratch my head at that one there. The Las Vegas experiment, long-term view, as the first year success wasn't exactly overwhelming.
It depends on what the metrics are, I think.
They're saying the TV wasn't great.
Yeah, so that's probably a little bit disappointing there. So it'll be interesting.
But it is the first year.
Yeah.
Think about Port Adelaide going over to China
etc. I've got
first
no
couple
doubt.
Of years weren't exactly great, but then
it's going to be
started,
around for a while.
Yeah,
so, yeah.
Started to sort of build a little bit of momentum there. So, yeah, interesting. All right, tennis. Djokovic, true colours come out in a loss to a little known player, Luca Nardi, at India Wells.
You're not the best loser in the world.
It was a bizarre moment too, because Djokovic expected the ball to be called out. This was in the second set, and Nardi sort of half went to stop, but then dinked what I'd say, dinked the ball back over the net, and then they played out the point, and then Djokovic obviously lost the point and went, you know, what's going on? He stopped, but the umpire said, no, he didn't stop. There was no call. You have to play to the umpire's call. So, yeah, he lost the plot, absolutely. So, interesting little stat that he hasn't actually had a tournament win. Like, he's won matches within tournaments, but he hasn't won a final for 2024, and just some cracks are starting to appear.
It's not only that. It's behaviour like that which loses him with a lot of the average punter.
Yep.
While we're not real big Djokovic, while we don't have him up with Federer and Nadal and all that, where really on performance he is.
Yes.
But purely because it's stupid shit like that, he loses it. With respect.
We have to look at the entirety of the player's career, not just their wins and losses. Yeah. Totally agree. Doubt remains over when Rafael Nadal might return after another withdrawal. He's only played 12 matches since 2022. That is an amazing statistic in itself.
Yeah. For mine, the fat lady's warmed up a while back. It's time.
I think he's just trying to edge his way or inch his way towards the French Open, but if he's not playing at his best, and this is what he seems to be sort of saying subliminally, is that if he's not playing at his best, he doesn't want to be playing at all, and this is why he's withdrawing from tournaments. All right, mate, to finish off, a couple of questions there. AFL clubs bottoming out to have a big war chest to attract and poach stars. Is that smart and strategic, or is it giving false economy?
Probably a bit of both, but it's a good way to set, good way to keep, you know, supporters, keep membership. There's a lot of cloak and dagger stuff.
Interesting. I'm glad you put it that way. I thought this one would be very interesting for you, mate, Will Sutherland was doing an interview. He was in tears after the season-ending loss to WA.
And I bloody love it that he was.
Do not tell me that the Sheffield Shield does not matter and should be given the respect it deserves, which I know you would love me saying, but I think that's case in point, is that he cared that much that he couldn't hold back his emotions, and the Sheffield Shield should be given greater
Of course priority. It should. And that's what I was hinting at earlier, where our batting, we read out the figures the last round of Shield cricket, and it's diabolical.
Yep.
And Shield cricket should be being played when it matters, not the Big Bash.
Yes.
Yeah. Test players should be playing to try and keep the standard up so there's not as big a gap. You know, previously you played New South Wales with the test players playing.
Mm-hmm.
It was a bigger deal than a lot of test matches.
Yep.
You know my feelings.
Absolutely.
Where I've got Shield cricket.
Thought I would put it out there that obviously a player is obviously showing that it does mean a lot to them, and it needs to be given the respect it deserves.
Couldn't agree more.
All right, mate, we're going to finish up on that with a huge episode. Welcome back to the state of South Australia. You're back on the good side, not on the bad side. Two huge episodes there, obviously. Like we said earlier, we recorded the AFL-only episode previously. Earlier on in the week, we've released this one a little bit later, and thanks again, mate.
And congratulations to Joe and Alex for getting married. And look, both of them a fair bit of character, a bit of fun. They've got a greyhound, and the greyhound carried the rings down the aisle, which sums up both of them. It was funny.
Yes.
Greyhound got the 3 votes.
Yes.
It was fantastic.
Love it.
It was good fun. And congratulations.
Absolutely. Congratulations to the happy
couple. The Wilsons.
Mate, I can't top that by any way.
Players.
We'll leave the good, the bad, the ugly until next week. But yeah, can't top that at all. So we promise to do better. We'll see you next week. Thanks, mate.
Thanks, mate.
In this crazy world we live in, we all need the distraction. Enjoying the show? Like, rate, and subscribe. Hook up and connect with us on social media at Sportscast SA. We'll see you next time on Game On.